You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, the podcast on macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund, where we discuss interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events. I'm Ahalya, your co-host, and I have with me, as always, Srijith Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team, to help us walk through this month's macroeconomic updates. Hi, Srijith. How are you?
Good, Ahalya. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, the West Asia conflict continues to dominate economic discussions and markets worldwide. We are now amidst a ceasefire, but the Strait of Hormuz is blocked. Oil prices have been volatile, and so have the outlook for inflation and growth. So, you know, with countries grappling with higher costs, lower supply, and the uncertainty with geopolitical developments each day, central banks, governments, and markets have been evaluating various scenarios and policy actions, which means there's a lot for us to talk about, Srijith. So I'm excited to get into it. Today, we're going to discuss the global and domestic economic context, how markets can concerns have been changing from the early days of the conflict, how this time is different from the pandemic and the Russia-Ukraine war, and what all of this means for India and the possible trajectory for monetary policy. So let's dive into it. Lots to unpack. Srijith, we discussed last time about the global economic linkages to the West Asia conflict. But before we get into that, how were the major economies placed before it all even began, right? What was the growth inflation dynamics like?
So if you look at the US to begin with, growth surprises there, you know, were to the upside, despite, you know, higher tariffs and higher policy rates. And this was largely driven by, you know, AI-related investments, like we've discussed before. This year, apart from AI, we see fiscal policy also as an important stimulus for growth. So high income tax refunds, no taxes on overtime, and tips, and even depreciation related to tax benefits for investments made by some companies are some of the aspects in which the fiscal stimulus will work this year. So although there is a K-shape in the economy between, you know, lower and higher income segments, aggregate growth is nevertheless getting support. And again, if you, for instance, look at euro area, in the euro area, higher defense spending and this, you know, the related investments are seen as an important growth drive. Japan has been witnessing higher inflation and higher wage growth, and that's the central bank there has been hiking rates, and they amidst that rate hike cycle. So there's a broad sense that neutral interest rates are now globally higher than what it was, say, before the pandemic. So the US is again a good example here, as growth is sustained, core inflation is sort of stayed above 2%, although it is sort of moderated, but sort of moving sideways at around or under 3%. And all of this despite, you know, much higher rates than what it was before the pandemic. So something, again, difficult to imagine, say, 5 years ago. So higher global neutral rates and higher global bond yields, you know, are important aspects that have impacted Indian bond yields. And this is despite the fact that most central banks, at least, you know, the major ones, the fact that they were closer to the end of the rate cut cycles.
Okay, so higher global neutral interest rate is indeed a new reality. But I want to hone in on this one point about, you know, the bond market. You mentioned that all of this has impacted that market. Could you explain that and India's economic position before the onset of the conflict as well?
Now, we know India's inflation has been benign again, and even real growth was sort of buoyant. Current account has moderated in the last few years because of higher services trade surplus. And fiscal policy, again, I mean, we've discussed this in detail before, that fiscal policy has also been quite credible and it has been consolidating over the last few years. But we were still facing capital outflows in, say, the last 1 year or so. So this was likely driven by, again, higher global bond deals and also the potential hit to our services sector from the AI narrative. But the RBI did a lot of, you know, bond purchases. So again, to give you some numbers, almost 80% of the net government bond supply in 2025 and early 2026 was bought by the RBI through its OMO bond purchases. So we were facing external account challenges and currency was taking some hit. But G-Sec yields, so government bond yields, benefited from RBI's liquidity measures. Thereafter, geopolitics, when the West Asia conflict started, added to this problem. Because we are an emerging market, not just to the current account deficit, but we also have a high trade deficit in commodities, which include oil.
Right. So external account pressure for India due to higher global bond yields, AI, and most recently, the West Asia conflict. Now, for global markets, including India, has the impact of the conflict and therefore the economic outlook changed? And how does that impact the monetary policy reaction function?
Yeah, so that's probably the most relevant question right now, because the markets clearly gave more weightage to the potential impact on inflation in the initial weeks of the conflict. So if you look at US 2-year yields, they went up, and so did expectations of rate hikes by most central banks, including India. The market was possibly trying to take a leaf out of the 2022 Russia-Ukraine war, where there was a price shock and an energy shock. So after about 3 weeks of the conflict, growth worries started to rise against inflation worries. And as the conflict prolonged, the economic impact from lower supply of not just oil, but non-oil goods, that sort of the worry and that started to rise. So 2-year yields and central bank rate hike expectations started to moderate after it picked up in the initial weeks. The impact from the conflict, therefore, if you look at it, lies somewhere between the energy price shock due to the 2022 Russia-Ukraine war and the supply shock, which is the 2020 pandemic. So the reality is somewhere in between in terms of the price shock or an energy shock. For India, there's been a lot of comparison with the 2013 taper tantrum episode. So that was when there was a lot of capital outflows and the RBI had to step in and take measures. But the reality is that if you look at macroeconomic numbers, so some of the basic numbers like current account deficit, inflation and fiscal deficit, now it's much lower and better. So this is definitely not 2013. I think that's something that we need to realize. This also means that the RBI doesn't have to hike rates aggressively, just the current starting point is much better. But we also continue to face China, which is having excess supply across various sectors and weak domestic demand there at the same time, which means it is exporting out a lot of products at relatively lower prices. And that means it keeps our inflation lower, although it reduces our capital expenditure and growth. So in the April Monetary Policy Committee meeting of the RBI, it sounded neutral, stating that this is a supply shock and that it becomes a demand issue only if the shock persists into the medium term. The RBI can act only when there is a clear second round effect, right, on prices of various other goods and evidence of a wage price spiral. So it wouldn't really respond to the first round shock, which is the supply shock. So it really said that it would react probably to a second round effect.
Okay, so there are rising growth concerns, but this isn't 2013 as far as India is concerned, and no case here for an immediate rate hike after the April RBI monetary policy meeting. But Srijit, does this also mean that the RBI will focus on growth and will want to keep rates low for some time?
That's exactly the kind of narrative that we have. I think there are two extreme narratives in the market right now. One is of very aggressive hikes to ward off inflation. The other one is, the lower for longer, which sort of the RBI governor also alluded to sort of preserve growth and make sure growth is not, at least the sacrifice on growth is not too. We believe the policy rate path for India lies somewhere between these two extremes, aggressive hikes at one end and lower for longer at the other. Again, this is because, like I mentioned before, global neutral rates have moved up. Domestic neutral rates for India also have likely moved up as India faces capital account outflows, even at a lower level of current account deficit, right? So that's what we've seen in the last couple of years. So rates should move up, but not aggressively and immediately. And again, if you look at our inflation projections, these projections have also been rising, right? So RBI's own projections and generally market projections 4 quarters from now, say for instance, this is 1 year from now, is rising. And we need to see where oil prices settle. So, for instance, oil futures prices are showing a higher price than what it was before the conflict started. In short, therefore, we believe we could see around 50 basis points of rate hikes gradually towards the end of the year of now. But this also depends on, global growth and interest rate expectations around the world, right? So, for instance, the US labor market has been moderating. And again, we've discussed this before with lower job additions, immigration outflows because of policy measures that have been taken there, and even moderating wage growth. If you look at real goods consumption expenditure growth there, that has also been easy. So there is the K-shape in play in the US as well. We also have to see how the AI economic impact evolves. Does that continue or does that fizzle out in any fashion? So the growth outlook for even world ex-US, you know, has also moderated off late. So how is the, for instance, the growth outlook for Euro area, Japan, China, etc. as a whole? If that also moderates because of the conflict, etc. And that's also something we need to keep track of. So the hikes for India are contingent on these factors as well. But for now, we see this 50 basis points hike gradually towards the end of the year as the likely rate path.
Right, 50 basis points rate hikes possible towards the end of the year. But more importantly, policy rate path for India likely lies between the two extremes of aggressive hikes and lower for longer. And with that, it's time for me to summarize the key takeaways. But my God, that was quite a deep dive today, Srijit. So for everyone listening in, here are some key points that you need to make note of. First, global neutral rates have likely moved up, and we see AI and higher fiscal support for growth in the US, defense spending in the euro area, and rate hikes in Japan. So India was facing capital outflows even before the West Asia conflict started, despite lower inflation, fiscal deficit, and current account deficit. Geopolitics basically added to the problem. Second, during the initial weeks of the conflict, concerns about higher inflation dominated global markets as two-year bond yields and central bank rate hike expectations went up. Thereafter, growth worries have risen, yields and rate expectations have moderated. For India, comparison with the 2013 taper tantrum episode is incorrect because our current account deficit, inflation, and fiscal deficit are now much better. Inflation could also be contained due to export of excess supply in various industries from China. And third, in the April MPC meeting, the RBI said that the current supply shock becomes a demand issue only if it persists into the medium term and causes second round effects. The likely policy rate path for India is therefore between the two extremes of aggressive hikes and lower for longer. While this is based on global and domestic neutral rates having moved up, higher inflation projections and oil prices, it also depends on global growth and rate expectations. If the US labor market weakens sharply or the AI narrative fades and Fed rate cut expectations rise or growth outlook for the rest of the world weakens, rate hikes may not be on the table for India. For now, we see 50 basis points of hikes gradually towards the end of this year. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Srijit, for taking us all through it. This was quite an active month, and I'm sure we're going to have an equally engaging next month. But until then, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.